When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Dueling allegations of attacks in eastern Ukraine spark fears of escalation. Plus, could Amazon be the next target of activist investors? And north-south divides once again threaten to frustrate Europe's central bankers.
The tight money alliance of the north of Europe is more in favor of raising interest rates and following the Fed. But you have to remember that we have 19 nations here.
It's Thursday, February 17th. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. Pro-Russian separatists and Ukrainian authorities have traded allegations of ceasefire violations along a tense front line separating the two sides in eastern Ukraine. Representatives from the two breakaway Russia-backed statelets known as the Luhansk and Donetsk People's Republics said Ukraine's armed forces had launched grenades and mortars into their territory. Ukraine's military said separatist forces had violated the ceasefire in eight places in the space of 24 hours. Officials in Kiev and the West have warned Moscow could use fighting around the separatist areas as a pretext to move into eastern Ukraine. The Kremlin has denied any plans for an invasion, but Western officials have said Russia is continuing its military buildup. Texas is suing to end the U.S.'s federal airport mask mandate. The lawsuit, brought by Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton and Republican Representative Beth Van Dyne, alleges that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention exceeded its authority by requiring face masks on planes and at airports. Paxton has also sued to overturn the local mask requirement in Austin, Texas, as well as a Biden administration rule requiring National Guard members be vaccinated. The White House and CDC didn't immediately respond to requests for comment. Meanwhile, Hong Kong has implemented its toughest restrictions yet amid a worsening COVID-19 outbreak that has overwhelmed the city's healthcare system. In an effort to control the rapid spread of the Omicron variant, Chinese leader Xi Jinping says mainland authorities will support Hong Kong's testing efforts, ease food shortages, and build treatment and isolation centers. Hong Kong reporter Natasha Khan says residents and businesses are frustrated by the new curbs.
The current situation is really having a huge impact on the local economy and local workers. The city has had increasingly tough lockdown measures in the last few weeks, and Hong Kong officials argue that because of a relatively lower vaccination rate in the elderly, that these measures are important to avoid or avert a huge strain on the healthcare system, which we've already been seeing.
And Amazon and Visa have reached an agreement to allow customers to use Visa credit cards across the online retailers' websites and shops around the world. This resolves a months-long dispute after Amazon announced in November that it would soon stop accepting UK-issued Visa credit cards, citing their high fees. Amazon and other retailers rely heavily on credit cards and are sensitive to such fees, which card networks typically increase for online purchases due to fraud risks. For years, activist investor Daniel Loeb and his Third Point hedge fund have aggressively pushed changes at major companies like Nestle and Royal Dutch Shell. And now, Loeb is setting his sights on Amazon after increasing his stake in the e-commerce giant. We're exclusively reporting that Loeb told investors the market is undervaluing Amazon by as much as $1 trillion. And for more on what this activist investor is planning, we're joined by markets reporter Caitlin Ostroff. Hey, Caitlin.
Hey, Luke.
For those who don't know much about Daniel Loeb's playbook, what are the changes that he's often tried to push companies to take?
Yeah, so when Third Point took a large stake in Royal Dutch Shell, for example, he urged them to break up into two companies, one being kind of the legacy refining business, so you get cash, but also not very that green, and the other to kind of focus more on renewables and other things that require more investments, but kind of meet what a lot of investors have been focusing on the last couple of years, which is renewable and green investing. And he also approached Nestle to sell its stake in L'Oreal. So in the past, he's had this strategy of breaking companies up or segmenting off units that he sees as a little bit more distinct and can stand on their own.
And while I understand Loeb hasn't yet pursued an activist campaign per se against Amazon, how do his latest comments about the company fit into this MO from the past few years?
So he's already thinking about Amazon in two parts, one being the business focused on cloud services, AWS, and the other on kind of more of the retail shipping and distribution side. And it's a sign that he might be thinking of that as a way to segment the two companies. And that honestly could address some of the concerns that lawmakers have had over Amazon's size.
Yeah, I was going to say he's not the first person to suggest Amazon split up or be split up.
No, I mean, House lawmakers have proposed legislation, including a bill to make Amazon and other large corporations like Apple or Meta Platforms to split into two. And so this has been an idea that's been batted around, but potentially Loeb is thinking that this is one way Amazon could approach that.
Finally, is it just me, or does it feel like activist investors have been particularly active of late?
It feels more active, especially in the last couple of weeks. I mean, you know, the journal reported that another activist investor, Altavox Capital Management, is looking to add several directors to Hasbro and wants them to make changes on how spinning off some of their gaming units and changes to the company. And so it does feel like there's been a lot more focused recently on activist investors having a say in what a company's direction is.
That was markets reporter Caitlin Ostroff. Caitlin, thanks for the update.
Thanks.
Coming up, jobless claims are today due to show the U.S. economy continues to roar ahead, bolstering the Fed's case for a rate hike next month. But in Europe, the picture is starkly different and interest rates remain stubbornly low. We'll have more on how two of the world's biggest economies are running at very different temperatures after the break.
WSJ Special Access gives you a front row seat to some of the Wall Street Journal's most exciting content, like The Quirkier Side of Life, a new series that features the fun, surprising stories our reporters come across.
The chief executive walks 10,000 barefoot steps every day. He recalls stepping on a bee, which put him off earthing for a couple of days, but he got back to it.
Check out The Quirkier Side of Life on WSJ Special Access, only for WSJ subscribers.
The Federal Reserve's interest rate decisions are typically seen as a global benchmark, and with plans for it to raise rates next month, you might expect other countries to follow suit. Some already have. But not everyone can move that quickly, including the European Central Bank. Our Heard on the Street columnist John Sindreo joins us now with a look at why that is and what the consequences of that might be. Hi, John. Welcome.
Hello.
First off, in an ideal world, what would ECB policymakers want to do here? Do they want to follow the US in raising rates?
That is a very difficult question to answer. And from what we know, there is a wide range of opinion inside the ECB. As you might expect, the Dutch and the Germans and, you know, the traditional sort of tight money alliance of the north of Europe is more in favor of raising interest rates and following the Fed than the other side. However, in the US, you see wages grow quite significantly with inflation, which of course raises the question of, will we get to that 1970s point where the wage pressure itself is making companies push prices up? In Europe, this doesn't seem likely because wage growth has been extremely subdued. And we don't see any notion that inflation is anything other than sort of an energy-driven phenomena. But, of course, headline inflation is still much above the ECB's 2% target. So the same question or the same pressure is you know, happening at the ECB level as well.
Okay, and this is relevant because no matter what the ECB does, it's going to impact other economies and other assets like the US dollar, yeah?
So if we look, for example, at how at the Wall Street Journal we measure the value of the dollar, of course, any currency trades against other pairs of currencies. So there isn't one value, right? But what most people try and do is they take the most important other currency in terms of trade or in terms of trade of the currency itself, like how liquid each market is. So if interest rates go up, you're getting more, so the currency goes up. Of course, it goes up relative to other currencies. So what you must always look for is what's the interest rate in this country relative to another, right? So if the ECB starts raising rates, then this difference between the US and the euro gets narrower, which means that 2022 could be a period in which the euro goes up and the dollar goes down.
Got it. I was hoping we could get into why the ECB making a decision about what to do on interest rates is so tricky.
It's tricky because you have to remember that this is not like a regular country, right? Which is own central bank. We have 19 nations here. They all have the euro and they all have their own central banks, but they're all part of this system that we call the euro system. But actually, different central banks, they have slightly different responsibilities. And of course, there is one single interest rate, or at least that's sort of the idea for the entire eurozone. We have to remember that interest rates here are at an all-time minus 0.5% low, which means that the ECB, since those days of Jean-Claude Trichet in 2011, hasn't really tried to ever raise interest rates. So it's a big question whether they will, but at the same time, one can also argue, well, you're so deeply negative that even if you raise them a little bit, it's not quite the same as the Federal Reserve. So these two sides are kind of battling each other. We're still very low, so you can argue what's the harm, but at the same time, there's no actual reason to do it.
Okay, John, so we've got a bunch of different economies here, all trying to operate under the same monetary policy, but that has got to be tricky, right? With some countries growing at a different pace.
It usually has been the case that Spain and Italy, the periphery lacks the core. It seems to be the case in the recovery from COVID as well, particularly in the case of Spain. Italy is actually doing much better, which is sort of the opposite of, you know, what happened before COVID. Part of it being that it seems like Spain deployed far less fiscal stimulus than other countries, and especially plans to deploy less of it this year. The point is, the policy objectives are not being transmitted as the ECB would want them to. You know, certain investors thought, oh, there is a risk that we will go back to 2011, where, like, you know, the fear was that a Spanish euro is not quite the same as a German euro. And the expectations are key in financial markets, right? So if you reset these expectations, maybe you don't have to buy bonds because you've already committed to buying them. It's one of those, you know, kind of self-fulfilling prophecies we see so much in markets.
Sure. And so what challenge does that dichotomy you're describing present for the ECB, and not least the central banks that are tied to its decisions?
Yeah, I mean, a very important thing in monetary policy is what investors always mention as credibility, right? The reason for that is that, let's say the central bank wants to not just change this interest rate at which banks exchange money every day overnight, but it also wants to affect your mortgage rate, all those longer term borrowing costs. Those borrowing costs depend in great measure of the expectation of what these shorter term interest rates, which the ECB has the power to set directly, do over time. So managing these expectations is very important, because if the market doesn't believe what you're saying, then you really have lost control of what the market is pricing in 10 years from now. On the other hand, the ECB has been easing monetary policy for a decade. So it's probably easier for them to convince markets that they won't do something than it is that they will do something. But because we have the Fed taking action and the Bank of England taking action, right now the zeitgeist of the market is very much that, you know, when in doubt, central banks will raise interest rates. I'm a bit skeptical. We'll see.
John Sindreo is our Heard on the Street columnist. John, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And finally, how much personal data would you give up in exchange for cheaper insurance? Two insurance companies, Allstate and John Hancock, are teaming up to offer some people lower premiums if they maintain a healthy lifestyle. WSJ reporter Leslie Sism says by tracking policyholders, insurers can work out people's driving and lifestyle habits and reward those who are safer and healthier.
John Hancock encourages his policyholders to use wearables where they can track how many steps they do a day, and so they can go onto the website or onto the app and plug in their daily count. And there's an annual health maintenance category where if they get a mammogram, if they do blood pressure screenings, they will get points. That you can get points for education, complete a short health survey, and you're eligible for some points. And exercise, walk 5,000 steps a day, you get some points. Walk more steps, you get more points. And that's what's going to ultimately earn them a discount on their premium.
And that's What's News for Thursday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.